Amen. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we'll dismiss for the children's work. Thank you guys so much. Tom Reiser, let's give Tom Reiser a hand clap of appreciation, because Tom Reiser is Mr. All Purpose. This is a little something from the church to recognize you for everything you're doing, all your ministry. We appreciate it so much. The Widow's Ministry got off the ground this week as Tom and James went over to Winona Bailey and I believe hung a clock or something for her, got some things done.
In that passage there, I want to call this message the powerhouse of prayer. But I heard a man named Leonard Ravenhill say this: no man is greater than his prayer life. No man is greater than his prayer life. You've heard me talk about C.H. Spurgeon, and he had that metropolitan church way back in the day in England, and I believe it was in London. But he had 10,000 people that would show up to be a part of those services. But I think he had, I can't remember if it's 200 or 2,000 that were in the basement of that thing, and they were praying the whole time for sinners that were coming into those services at 10,000 a drop. And they called it the boiler room. And in the boiler room was just heartfelt, unbelievable prayer warriors just getting after it, just praying to the Lord Jesus Christ that there would be great salvations. And many, many people were coming to the Lord at that time. Mary Karras left a book at our house. It's called Reese Howell. Reese Howell's book is called The Intercessor. And I started to just look at that. But how Reese Howell, you must have planted it for me.
On accident.
But Reese Howell's prayers caused revival in Africa. Reese Howell's prayers started to cause missions to go throughout a certain region of the world. Reese Howell's prayers were causing tens and hundreds and thousands of people to come to Jesus Christ. Reminds me of another man named John Hyde. Anybody ever heard of Praying Hyde? You've got to get a book called Praying Hyde. His name was John Hyde, and the Lord Jesus just kept increasing him in the areas of prayer. He said to pray for 10 people, and guess what? The Lord told him to pray for 10 people. Those 10 people got saved. He said, Lord, what do I do now? And he gave himself to an hour of prayer, and he said, if you pray for an hour, you just keep seeking my face. And he prayed. Well, he got to the point in his life where he was praying for hundreds, and then the Lord would just up it to 500. Pray for this many people, and now pray for 1,000. And he was getting sick within himself because he was praying with such an earnest. The heart in his body was actually moving from one side of his body to the other side of his body. He was moving his heart because he was praying with such an earnest for people. And John Hyde's prayers were starting to do some incredible things. It was causing prayers to change kingdoms and affect weather patterns and win battles and send fog in to defeat enemies, to subdue armies. And his prayers were beginning to change the world. And guess what? The Lord just said, he came to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Keep praying. Keep praying and keep praying. And so even as the medical doctors told him, it's not healthy for you to pray like this anymore, he would give himself to hours and hours. He got to the point where he was praying over 8 hours a day and just seeking the face of God for souls. And I just want you to know that, do you believe or think for one second that one person's prayers could change the world? I have to believe that even with our current administration and the hell that they're facing almost every day at Capitol Hill and in the White House, somebody got a hold of God for that man to get in there. I know we serve a sovereign God, but sovereign people pray. God causes sovereign people to pray. And I want you to write this down. Faith prays. Amen. Faith prays. And God wants you to pray. He wants you to change your world. And faith prays. And it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 this morning. It says this, and if you'd pull it up, that would be great. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called according to my name, that's Christian people, by the way, shall humble themselves to pray. If my people would humble themselves to pray, if they would humble themselves and get off your high horse and your busy schedule and your whatever's going on in your life and pray, And just get to that place, if my people who are called according to my name would humble themselves and pray. They'd humble themselves to go to the place of prayer. And if they would seek my face, which is exactly the three words that God is speaking to your pastor. And if you would seek my face, and if you would seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, it means your carnal ways. It means your carnality. It just means the things that you're all caught up. If you would turn from those things and begin to seek my face and begin to pray. Jesus, the Lord God, is promising us. It says, then, you see where it says then? It says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I look at the people like Rhys Howell and John Hyde and C.H. Spurgeon and Leonard Ravenhill, and dear God, no man is greater than his prayer life. But my God, what if the church began to pray again? What if God in his mercy gives one more time to the church of God to see the powers of darkness push back in our area or in this nation one more time? What if God would do that? Wouldn't that be an unbelievable thing? Do you believe that God can do that? Amen. He says, I will. He says, I will do that if I can find a people that'll pray and seek my face and turn from their carnal, wicked ways. And I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. And I'm going to forgive their land. I will heal their land. Do you see it with me this morning? I believe there's so much potential in Jesus Christ because eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has come into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for they that love him. We can't even imagine the goodness and the power and the potential of our prayers and our prayer life and how important it is when they're the mighty weapons that God has given us to throw down and to cast down and to bring down strongholds in this region and to pray and to change weather patterns and to change situations and communities and schools and unsaved loved ones and to begin to pray for the tens and then the hundreds and then the thousands of people. Or how about revival in Nebraska to see that a sovereign move of God, to see the wind blow like it did in the upper room, to come to this area also. Imagine what your prayers could do in this effort that Jesus has called us to work in, this area of prayer. Imagine what you could do. If these are just mere men and God didn't love them any more than he loved us, they're no better and no worse than us. But they were found available before God. They felt the cry. They felt the call to God. They heard the word of God and began to be obedient to praying. Imagine what could happen. Imagine the miracles that would come to pass. Imagine the people that would be freed from sickness and death and all these sorts of things if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves to pray. If we could get our people to pray again, if the church could be reminded that it has an unbelievable supernatural power and a hotline to heaven through Jesus Christ, I believe we turn things upside down. Go to 2 Corinthians this morning, 2:10. Dear Jesus, if my people, that's the scripture I just quoted, but in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But let's go and read the rest of this. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. How many of you in this room want to be a deep Christian? You want some deep waters. You want to go to the depths of the Word of God. You want to become a deep Christian. Well, you can't do it without the Spirit of the living God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Do you see that? We've received a spirit that is of God when we get born again, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's the theme of this morning's talk. I want you to know that you might know the things that are freely given to us by God. God has given us unbelievable power and opportunity. Verse 13, which things also we speak. Now look at this. We're talking about utterance. We're talking about vocal These things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, comma, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We are a people of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're a people that are taught by the Holy Spirit. We speak things not in the words of man's wisdom. Somebody say amen. 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. And he wants to know them so bad in a carnal sense. But he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual or born again judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known what is the mind of the Lord? Who can know the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And God wants you to know, back to verse 12, that you might know the things that are freely given to you of God. That you might know the things that are given to you. They were given by God to you. So there's no excuses, because Jesus has already set us free. Amen. Jesus has set us free from our sins. He set us free in Romans 8. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We have the Spirit of life in us now that has pushed out death. We have been revived. There's a newness in our life. We have been filled with the Spirit, this indwelling Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 6 that we've been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we should walk in newness of life. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. I want you to know, if you've been born again, say amen, so I know if anybody's saved yet. Amen. Otherwise, we got to get everybody saved. But Jesus says in Romans 6, 5, okay? Let's look at that. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people know that on the third day, the stone that covered the grave was rolled away? A lot of people think it is finished, and it was finished on the cross, and it was, as far as Jesus becoming the sacrifice, but it wasn't over there. He went to the grave. The stone was rolled away, and humanity's unsolvable problem of dealing with this issue of sin and death was absolutely done away with. Jesus did it. He put death down and conquered it at the cross. Didn't he? Didn't he? Didn't he? He buried the thing, and he came out, and he destroyed death, and he made a new way. And guess what? Death was no match for God's power. Amen. God's grace came through. Jesus can resurrect the dead. Jesus can resurrect the hopeless. He can resurrect the sinful. Jesus can resurrect the addicted this morning, the lost. Jesus can heal the sick. He can heal the hurting, the broken, and the poor. He can and he will, if my people who are called according to my name will humble themselves to pray. Jesus said he would come and heal their land. Amen. I want you guys to know, and you should know this, knowing these things, Jesus is risen from the dead. He'll transform you. He'll transform communities. He'll transform your heart, your body, your mind. He'll bring a power into you beyond human comprehension, available to every single person. And you ought to wake up and say, glory to God. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Well, we got a little amen there. It's great. Listen, church, everything changes when we stand at the foot of the cross and you see an empty cross right there. And you realize that Jesus isn't there anymore. Think about it. It's empty, right? Jesus is not on that cross anymore. And then you go over to the open tomb and you begin to see that after the third day, Jesus rolled the stone away. And that tomb, you can go to it today and see it, but Jesus is not in that tomb anymore. What does that tell me? He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. Jesus is on the move. Amen. Jesus is somewhere today. He's at the right hand of intercession, and he's praying for you. A powerhouse of prayer. Jesus is praying for you. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. That's a good thing. That's a very, very good thing. One of the greatest things we could ever know, I'm going to read to you this morning. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, I pray that you all know it, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin would be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I know it's doctrine, but church, we've got to know doctrine. We've got to preach doctrine. You go to 6:14 and it says 6:7 and it says, he that is dead is freed from sin. And then you go to 14 and it says, for sin shall no more have dominion over you, for you're not under the law anymore, but you're under grace. You're under grace now, and there's a power of God that's coming to you to defeat sin in your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. To give you dominion over sin. And I want you guys to think about the power of grace that's coming to your life through the indwelling Jesus Christ, who's alive and well this morning. He's risen from the dead. He's on the move, and he wants to move in your life too. Amen. Now I want you to think about that power that is pulsating from the cross called grace into your life, and think about it for just a second. Think about it for just a second. It has given you dominion over your sin. Jesus is where? He's in you. Amen? Now think about this. Do you remember the first time after you got saved? Do you remember that time, those moments of time? But do you remember this about that? Do you remember when maybe something, some of you guys maybe were addicted to sin? You were addicted to drugs or alcohol. Maybe you were addicted to pornography. Maybe you were addicted to something in your life. You could not get victory over it. But then Jesus came into your heart on that day or that night or that evening or whatever. And all of a sudden, now you're saved. And guess what? Here comes that old devil knocking on your old door. Amen. He's coming up with that old music. Or he's coming back at you with some sinister little thing that he's always got you on. And this time, I can think back. This time, something in me rose up against it. This time something of power came over me to shut that thing down that would have normally just owned me and addicted me. Remember how awesome that was? To realize that there was a supernatural power inside of you? Think about it. That sin no longer has dominion over me, and I didn't even have the theology yet, but I could think to myself, dear God, something is different. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new, because I don't have to do that anymore, because that ate my lunch, quite honestly, for a long time. And now something has given me an indwelling power to overcome that. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Do you remember that in your own life when you had your first little victory? And then maybe your second, and then the devil comes with all that, oh, I'm going to listen to this song. That, oh, that was my favorite song in the world. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost goes, I wonder what's on this station instead. You know, your buddies call, we're going out to guitars and Cadillacs, or we're going up on this one place. We're going to go to that party that you've been, man, you've loved that place for a long time. And I go, I'm going to Extreme Devotion tonight. That's where I'm going to go. I'm going to be hanging out with a lot of the international student body tonight. What? Aaron, what has got into you? That makes no sense at all. Nope. I'm on O Street, and I'm going by Alibaba's, and I'm going by Sandy's, and I'm going by Iguana's, but I ain't pulling in this time. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Something, you're starting to get victories, and all of a sudden it's overcoming. But I want to talk to you guys about not just knowing Jesus and being born again and having the fruit of righteousness, but all of a sudden something in you as you become a full gospel person, something in you to the fullness of God. And Jesus talks about fullness in a few passages. Go to the book of Acts with me, Acts chapter 6. Today, we'll look at a few places, and then guess what, man? This is a quick day. But I just want to preach to you a little bit. Give me a little bit of time this morning. Is that okay? Jesus in you is one of the greatest miracles that there could ever be. It is the miracle of all miracles. Amen? Amen. Salvation, being born again of the Spirit of God. But this is interesting in the King James. You go to verse 3, you're going to see this. They're looking for more disciples. These folks are going to become deacons in the church of God. And in 6:3 it says, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report. It says, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom whom we may appoint over this business. Now here we have full, which means it's a measure or a degree of whatever you have in you. And what God is saying, everybody in the new birth gets a measure of Jesus Christ. You're born and there's an indwelling measure of the Holy Spirit given to you. It's called the divine nature. It's Jesus Christ in you. But then in the Ephesians it says that we need to be filled to all the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So I do believe that we're created in righteousness and true holiness. We're wonderfully born again and going to heaven. We're going to make the rapture and everything, church, amen, with Jesus Christ in our heart. But these deacons had to be a little bit more. Somebody say amen. Amen. They couldn't just hammer a board to a wall. And they couldn't just be good with numbers. I want you to see that, deacons. Okay? There had to be a spiritual requirement. They had to be full of the faith and full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. Amen? Full means full. Do you know what that means? The opposite of full is what?
Empty.
These people had to have some fullness. Now look at this. Go to verse 5. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them in verse 6, and then in verse 7, they found, and go down to verse 8, and Stephen full of faith and full of power. So now we get full of power, full of faith, and full of wisdom from 3 to 5 to 8, if you're studying it with me. And they did great wonders and miracles among the people. These were the deacons. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Go to the next chapter, 755. And now we see the first deacon bringing revival and preaching the gospel. Philip takes the gospel to Samaria in 8. But in 7, here's the first deacon's death, the martyr's death. And in 55 it says, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Church, we need Jesus in you to the full if you're going to have a powerhouse of prayer. Amen? Because Jesus is at the right hand praying for you already. Amen? You have to have Jesus in you, but then get Jesus in you to the full. Somebody say amen to that. Get Jesus in you to the fullness. Amen? And I believe that's a word for every single person in this room. You need to be full of Jesus because your prayers can move mountains. Amen? Your prayers can change weather patterns. It can cause people to walk. It can cause people to see. It can cause miracles to happen. Go to Acts 9:36. You're going to see there was a man named Peter who was a doubter and a denier after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now all of a sudden he sees this woman named Tabitha. This wonderful woman who was also full of great things. And she was a believer. She had passed away one night in Acts 9:36. And in 37 it says that she died. And she was laying in an upper chamber in 37. I want you guys to look at 9:40 with me. But Peter, this one who is now full of the Holy Ghost, put them all forth, or got everybody else out of the room. And he knelt down and he prayed, and he turning him to the body, said this, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. She didn't say in the name, he didn't notice this. Look at your own scriptures. It doesn't say in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. Do you notice that? That's peculiar to me. It was Jesus in Peter to the fullness that simply said to that woman's death, Tabitha, arise. Are you seeing that? He spoke to death and rebuked it. And this was the first resurrection after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by one of the apostles. That's power. That's power. Amen. These people were carrying something of power. How do you explain it otherwise? Well, the only way I can explain it is Matthew 10:8. And Matthew 10:8, Jesus told his disciples to heal the sick. Now imagine if I tell you guys who are the current disciples to do the exact same thing. You guys go out into the community. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Ding, ding, ding. Peter was just obedient to the Father, wasn't he? To the Master. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, now freely give. Go to Matthew 10:1. I'll tell you what they had been given, because I really want to know. What, dear God, did they have? Matthew 10:1. What did they have? What did Jesus give them that the current church seems to be so lacking in? Why could they raise the dead then? By the way, Smith Wigglesworth, if you've ever read a book, one of his books, old timer, he raised 9 people from the dead. He went to his wife's funeral and raised her from the dead. She sat up in the casket. She said, "Smith, not this time." And she laid back down and died. Did you hear the story? Absolutely. There's a missionary from South America still alive today. There's reports of some 50 people that have been raised from the dead. There's a woman here named Melissa Griffin. Remember her? She preached here. She told me a story at my dinner table that there had been a person in the village in India that had been dead for over 15 minutes. And they all went in there and prayed, and all of a sudden, they're about to zip up a body bag that this woman was laying on a gurney, and all of a sudden, she went, started coughing like this. They rebuked death, and that little girl that stood up here and preached like a fire hydrant, amen, remember her? She was your women's conference speaker. That girl that was raised from the dead is marrying a pastor now. And they're carrying on ministry in India. We should probably support them. Amen? I want you to know that this is what Jesus said. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Matthew 10:1 says this, "And when he had called unto him 12 disciples, he gave them power," the word is dunamis, "against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Your God, does He want to heal people? You look at Paul in the book of Romans, the book of Romans chapter 15. Paul says, and I'm sure that when I come unto you, I'm going to come in all the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's Romans 15:29. I want to make a point there. It's a full gospel. If this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have stopped with regeneration. We've stopped preaching it at regeneration for most people. And we need to go beyond. Amen? He says, I'm going to come. I'm sure that when I come unto you, I'm going to come in all the fullness of the power of God. This is what that means. And this is the gospel. It's a full gospel, by the way. Here we have Paul's confidence stated that when he visited them, he would come to them with all the gifts and the graces of the Spirit of God and of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had 9 fruits of the Spirit going in his life. He had 9 gifts of the Spirit that you can count out that he was used in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and throughout the Pauline epistles that he was used in. He starts the letter to the Corinthians saying, I'm praying to God that church, you come behind in no gift and no utterance, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted the church to be full, to be exuberant, and to be moving in the power of the New Testament doctrine. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody give God a hand clap of praise, because God is worthy. Amen. Somebody believe God, and my God, the things of the Bible started to happen again.
Amen.
Somebody can start to pray today from this place, and you can move the hand of sovereignty, and God can use you to pray through to the perfect will of God. If you take anything away from what I'm saying, you need Jesus in you, number one. Amen?
Amen.
You need Jesus in you to the fullness, number two, okay? I want to go to the third point today, and it's probably as far as we'll get. Jesus praying through you. Jesus praying for you. We know He prays for you, but Jesus is going to pray through you. Praise God. Let's go a little bit further here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We know that Jesus is interceding for us. He's at the right hand from Romans 8:34. But if you go to Romans 8:26, that He's not the only helper. Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16 that He would send another comforter, or the word is paraclete, or somebody that always has your back. In other words, in Greek times, and back in Roman times, and in Greek times, the word paraclete was used as somebody in the military sense that would stand back to back with you, and they had a fighting sequence. In other words, somebody would always have your back, and it would never be exposed to the enemy because the paraclete was right with you. I'm going to send you another comforter, the word is paraclete, that will be with you even to the coming of the end of the age. It's the Holy Spirit. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's Jesus, but joint. It's the Holy Spirit as well. Amen? That's what that word means, joint. It's two powers coming to fight for you. Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the Father, but the Holy Ghost is indwelling you. Amen? With a power from on high. He said He would send power down from heaven. And you would be the church. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. Praying. Likewise, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, all of our weaknesses, which are many. We're a broken people. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Romans 8:26. I hope you're there with me today. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings or gushings is the word which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is praying through you. He's the one that's making the intercession. Jesus is praying, but there's somebody that's joint is what it means. He's helping you. The word helpeth is the word joint. Helpeth, giving you joint assistance afforded by two persons who mutually bear the same load. And it's Jesus and the Holy Ghost, the paraclete, who has your back. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. They're there to protect, to honor, and serve one another. Hallelujah. They're there to win every battle and to give you victory in every sense. They're there to help you stand when you don't think you can stand. They're there to keep you when you're tempted beyond belief. And hallelujah, thank God I've been kept so many times by the blessed power of Jesus and the Holy Ghost stepping in through the power of the cross and throwing some of that grace at me in a time when I needed it desperately. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God, I love it when He takes over, amen? I love it when He does the anointing. I love it when He stands up in the power of God and says, you ain't having my children, amen? Every single one of you are His children.
Amen.
Hallelujah, that's why we brought our kids to the throne room today to our Father, amen? Praise God, our infirmities, the word is physical, mental, moral weakness. I'm here to help you in your weaknesses. You are weak. But I am strong, and when you are weak and turn to me, I'll make you strong. Isn't that good? I said, isn't that good? My God, hallelujah. If my people who are called according to my name, if they'll come and pray and humble themselves. Dear God, the things that God won't do for you, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has come into the heart of man. The things that God hath prepared for them, not just in heaven, but here and now. Here and now. I studied it out. I always thought that was an eternity. That's here and now.
Amen.
I didn't know that. Wow. You're talking supernatural power? You're talking anointed power? You're talking blessing? You're talking the miracles that Jesus walked in and the apostles walked in and moved in are for us today? You gotta be kidding me. Are you serious? You mean that I can be a new creation in Christ Jesus? You mean that I can be changed and supernatural? I can have dominion over sin because Jesus went to the cross and He's alive from the dead and He's risen? Hallelujah. And He's not on that cross anymore? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God and the tomb and the stone has been rolled away and Jesus is alive today. Hallelujah. And He's praying for you and me. And not only that, He sends the Holy Spirit on top of that jointly to come and make sure that your back is guarded. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Dear God, He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses to the cross to free us. And by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. That was 2,000 years ago, but the Holy Spirit enacts that today. And He says, if you'll only pray and seek My face, He says, I'm going to come and I'm going to do a little bit more healing. I'm going to heal your land. He said, if I can get My people to turn from their wicked, carnal atmosphere. Oh, I'm going to pick on the Super Bowl now. What is it? Amen. I'm going to pick on Husker football. Uh-oh, look out now. I said I'm trodden on things. Amen. I'm going to pick on your favorite music. He said, if you turn away from your carnal, wicked things, the things that you live for and allow a room in your heart and in your life and in your family, if you turn from that total idolatry, if you turn from those things and begin to seek My face, is that not what He said? He said, if you will repent, if you'll pray, if you'll seek My face, and if you look at My countenance, brother, hallelujah, if you let the Lord Jesus Christ come down and you start to commune with Him, He said, I will begin to heal your land. I'm going to preach a little bit longer if you don't mind. Amen. I'm getting to where I need to be. But hallelujah, God is helping us. Are you in Romans 8:27? And He that searcheth the hearts, which is Jesus Christ, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints. Church, Jesus is praying for you. The Holy Spirit will pray through you according to the will of God. That means carnality. Well, Lord, I think I should pray for my dad and my mama. And our minds are finite. But when you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you, in you, and through you, you are praying the perfect will of God. And church, we need to realize that this is a power. This is a power of supernatural wealth that the church knows about but almost never uses. The average church person right now a week is praying 5 minutes a week, and the average pastor is praying 8. And prayer is our greatest power. We can't get a prayer meeting with more than 3 people in it. For some reason, church, for some reason, I believe the devil has bound us into thinking that I have to be at a basketball game right now that starts at 12:30. When I should be in the house of God. Go to Jude if you don't believe what I'm praying today, what I'm preaching today. I'm telling you, saints, we've got to pray in power today. We've got to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost power that God gave us and died on a cross to send us. Cassie, are you with me today, huh? Amen? Say amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Marianne, you with me today? Amen. Now come on, let's go a little further. We're going to the Word of God. Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's going to keep you in the love of God. Read that passage. Praying in the Holy Ghost will make you so, so broken before God that you'll mention Jesus' name and weep and be broken before God. Dear God, praying in the Holy Ghost. Look at Jude 1:20. But beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost by doing what? It'll keep you in the love of God. It'll keep you so in love with God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto life eternal. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. Who is it? Who's going to keep you from falling and present you faultless? Jesus is. Who else? The Holy Ghost is. Amen? Because Jesus went to the cross, and my God, He's still at the right hand doing work for us today. Thank you, Jesus. You deserve the praise, honor, and glory for that. Hallelujah. I'm in Jude 1:25 now. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power and power both now and forevermore. Dear God, if you have glory and majesty and dominion and power working in you, do you think you're going to have a lot of troubles in life? I mean that you can't overcome. Church, I'm telling you, if you have glory and dominion and majesty and royalty and dominion and power now and then forevermore, I'm going to explain then Romans 8:28. Sorry, I just had to jump to Jude, but we're in Romans 8:28 now. Knowing that you have Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the power of God, and He's asking you to build up your most holy faith that's going to keep you in the love and keep you on fire for God and keep you unbelief. Look at this, 28, Romans 8:28. And now we know. I'm going to tell you why. Why? And we know that all things now work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to His purpose. Does that make sense now? Why all things are going to work together for good? Because Jesus is actively praying? Because the Holy Spirit is praying through you the perfect will of God, in the power of God, giving you an unction for God, breaking your heart, causing your heart to explode with a love for God, which gives you a love for missions, which gives you a love for people, which sends you into all the directions. And I can honestly say that the only reason this church has done phenomenal things in 7 years is because of what I'm preaching you today. It has never happened through a carnal means. It has only happened by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, by the love of Jesus Christ, who is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Wow. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We know that all things are now working together for good. Praise God. And in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, look at this, He did predestinate. You're predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn or the first resurrected born among many brother. Guess what? There should be everybody else in this room resurrected from the dead too in the new birth. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And your resurrection is coming. Amen. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified, saved you. And whom He justified, them He also filled with His glory. Filled to the fullness, to the measure and stature and fullness of Jesus Christ. If Jesus has... I'm telling you, would you say there's 50 people in this room? If Jesus has 50 more people on earth, part of His body, that He's fueling grace through, that He's praying through, and then He is you people are yielding your body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord God, and you're yielding your body to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you the perfect will of God, do you think things are going to happen in your community?
Amen.
Do you think there's going to be miracles, signs, and wonders that are just like what happened in the book of Acts?
Yes.
How in the world have we seen cancers broken off? How in the world have we seen esophaguses stretch out and grab stomachs? How in the world have we seen those things if somebody didn't pray the prayer of faith? Church, I'm telling you, you want to not be deceived in this end time? Be full of the Holy Ghost to be fully holy. It is the Spirit of wisdom. It is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth. Wow. I don't want to be deceived in the end time. Uh-uh. You better be close. It's all revealed to you by the Spirit. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. They cannot even be discerned by the natural man. God speaketh to the Spirit. Wow. Acts 1:8. I'm not going to get through my message today, and I know we've gone over, but I feel it's important to deliver the message God gave me. Praise God. What I'm talking about today is going to give you a heart for God, for missions. It's going to transform your mind from money, clothes, Super Bowls, and everything else. It's going to direct your path, and it's going to reveal your destiny. It's going to give you contentment in this life. It's going to lead you to the person that you're going to marry. It's going to lead you to plan A and not B, C, D, E, or F. There's a perfect will. God allowed me to marry Sarah. And somehow, God put in Sarah the ability to run a radio program. Coincidence? I think not. And a women's conference. And a women's Bible study. And I'm just not that good at preaching to women. Can I get an amen for that? The fourth thing it's going to do, and we're getting there to the end. I'll try to close this up. It's going to influence the people around you. What I'm talking about is dunamis or dynamite. Okay? That's what the church is missing, but this explains everything. In the last 1.5 years, we have been, we have been able to spread the wealth from Vermilion to Columbus to Norfolk to Omaha to Lincoln to Sioux City, and God is opening up new doors even right now. And what I'm telling you is it's because of Acts 1:8. I'll read it with you. Look at this. But you shall receive power, or you shall receive dynamite. It's the same word. It's dunamis, okay? Church, you shall receive dynamite in your heart and in your soul. You shall receive something nuclear, something explosive, something powerful, something dynamic that cannot be stopped. Hello, church, in the name of Jesus. Are you with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You shall receive this after, not before, after the what?
Holy Ghost.
After the Holy Ghost. He's speaking to his disciples. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. The word is martyrs. This dynamite, this love for God, this passion that you can see tangibly and feel is Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost moving in and through you with dynamite that is lighting the world on fire. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Amen? Somebody give God all the credit, God all the glory, God all the hand clap for the dynamite that He promised that would come down from heaven. He sent it on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
I said, somebody give God a hand clap. Church, this is the difference. This is the difference maker. These men had turned the world upside down. These men. My God, I want to be one of these men. I want to be one of these men with all my heart and soul. All my heart and soul. Because the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Everything we're seeing is an exploit of an almighty God. The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah.